G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers. I am Matt Smith. I got Greg Lyle with me. This is a Maxless episode.
Booyah!
Can I get an amen?
Yes, you can. Amen. Right. Yes. We are no Max tonight. Greg and I get to talk a bunch of round ball. We are going to go over the music poll winner from this week, which ended up being a landslide last time I looked. I didn't even look at the results today at all because I was counting myself out.
Final should have been up here this afternoon. I'll pull it up.
So I
know who it is.
Oh, we know who it is, but I am curious to see the stats on that because that was like a beatdown. You're two and oh, but we're gonna talk some more awards for Josh Allen. Just when you thought there couldn't be any more, some more awards for him. Some more awards for other sports as well. We're gonna get into a little bit of the women's basketball preview against Middle Tennessee State this weekend. We're gonna get into the men's basketball preview against Utah, both of which Greg and I will be at. Double header there, which means double the food, which is always a good Saturday. Excellent. And then we're going to talk a little bit on Quad A and his transfer and what that means to the team now, recruiting in the future. And then we're going to try to get a little bit of a bowl update if we have one here at the end of the episode. So won't be a terribly long episode, but we're going to get some good stuff to talk about in here. So
it'll be full of knowledge.
It will be. It will be.
None of that silliness that Max brings to the show.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And disclaimer, for the last episode that was posted, we apologize for Max in the beginning of that. It was not us that made him put him in a bad mood.
That escalated quickly.
It did. He did not sound like he was into that at all. And we could tell from the I'll call it pre-production. It's not really pre-production. It's just us messing around before we hit record. But he was not in a great mood to start with. So both you and I were like, oh boy, here we go.
This is going to be fun. This escalated quickly. Well, before we get too far along, the poll is completed. Oh, no, wait. Well, by the time they hear this tomorrow morning, it's going to be closed. There's 57 minutes left, according to Twitter right now.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake comes in second.
Okay. Oh, it looks like he came in second. Yeah.
Frank Sinatra and Rat Pack. And I actually was kind of like looking forward to that a little bit because I do like some Sinatra music and some Rat Pack music. But that came in, but 80s country, an overwhelming 71% of the vote.
Overwhelming. Yeah. That was, I saw like it took off like from the get go and just never stopped. And I was just like, all right, well, that was great. I'm glad I wasted a pick on that against 80s country. So I'm just going to,
you can do Timberlake again.
That's what I said. I'm just going to pick him every week until he wins finally.
There you go. He will so hate that. But man, it's been a busy week. I mean, this award season, and when I first did the very first of our sports updates and kind of did the award season, I was like, okay, I'll update on everybody where the awards are, and we'll be done with that. Yeah. But no, it's like every day something else comes out. Like,
yeah.
I wish they would just put them all out.
It sounds like you're just repeating yourself every day.
Yeah. Guess what? Yeah. Guess what? Josh Allen won another award yesterday.
Wow.
But and he is our first. It was announced tonight. He is the first unanimous consensus All-American, first-team All-American, which I did the research on that. He is the first one. He is the first consensus All-American since Derek Abney in 02.
Right.
But he is the first unanimous one since 77 when Art Still was a unanimous.
And Art was the only other one. So Josh makes the second in Kentucky history to ever be unanimous. And so, both defensive players. And for those of you listening that don't know what it means to be unanimous, luckily Kentucky put out a press release here that explained a little bit of it. But it was you have to have gotten first team nominations or chosen as a first team player by at least two of the five selected All-American teams that come from the American Football Coaches Association, the Associated Press, Football Writers Association of America, the Sporting News, and the Walter Camp Foundation. So of those five, you've got to have at least two to be a consensus All-American, but obviously unanimous means he got all five of them, which is
awesome. You get the Yahtzee. Well, he not only got all five, he got all five and then some, because there's ones that aren't even part of that.
Right.
You know, when you look at the Sports Illustrated, got it. The Athletic.com, got it. ESPN, got it.
Yep.
CBS, USA Today. We can go on. Athlon.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone that votes on first team All Americans, Josh was on it.
Yeah. So what about, you know what I did notice and I thought it was kind of weak? ESPN only does a first team.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. Yeah, yeah, that is kind of weak.
Huh. I was like, are you just doing it just to get your name out there?
Yeah, I know. But not even the All-Americans, but now his list of accolades just outside of that. We know the Bronco Nagurski Award, the National Defensive Player of the Year, the Chuck Bednarik Award, National Defensive Player of the Year.
The other National
Defensive Player. The other National Defensive Player. The Ronnie Lott Impact Trophy, National Defensive Player of the Year as well. The third one. The Birmingham Monday Morning Quarterback Club SEC Lineman of the Year. The SEC Defensive Player of the Year from the AP, Coaches, Athlon, and ESPN polls. Mm-hmm. First team All-SEC by AP, Coaches, Athlon, and ESPN polls. And then consensus first team All-American now. So, I mean, they're going to run out of room to type all this stuff out. Like, this is insane.
Yeah, I mean, they're just going to have to, like, dedicate a wing there in the crash center to Josh.
The Josh Allen corner. The Josh Allen suite.
If anybody's ever been in there, when you walk in, they've got this huge display of all these mannequins with all the different jersey combinations.
Yep.
And then, like, it's a big square. Mm-hmm. And on each side of the square, they've got a different trophy. So they've got the Sugar Bowl trophy. They've got the Governor's Cup. You know, they've got all these old trophies. They've got the College Hall of Fame for Art Still. They've got – didn't he win the Outland, I want to say? I think it was he won the Outland.
Might be right, yeah.
They've got that trophy up there. They've got Secretariat Silks. But now they're going to have to, like, take away the big interactive display that they have or something because Josh brought a lot of hardware to the university the last month.
A whole lot. My question for him is, like, what of that does he keep versus what does he let the university put on display?
I'm sure there's probably multiples, you know. I'm sure there's probably multiples.
He needs to just have some, like, one big trophy made for him at home that just has, like, individual, like, little plaques of everything that he won.
That would be a huge plaque. That wouldn't be a little plaque.
Yeah, you're right.
Huge plaque.
Well, little placards, I guess, with each of the different things on there. I don't know. That would be gigantic.
It's crazy. Though. Crazy how many awards. I mean, then you look at Benny, all the awards that Benny's won, and Bunchy. Bunchy's done great with a lot of these same awards coming in, being pretty much first team SEC on everything. Yep. That Josh was on was the same thing that Benny and Bunchy was on. Mike Edwards came in on a third team. Lynn Bowden's got a couple second team nods as an all-purpose kind of player. I'm just more shocked that, you know, some of these ones that do all the way down 13 that, I mean, I know he's banged up a little bit, but Cash didn't get a nod somewhere, an honorable mention or something somewhere down the line. I mean, you don't lead the SEC in tackles for over half the season, even being banged up and not get recognized.
Right.
West, I thought, had a great year. I thought he should have got, you know, somewhere down the line, something, you know.
Right.
But, you know, especially being a seniors and stuff like that. So,
But
that just is going to give Cash more fuel this offseason. So, thank you for not nominating him.
Yeah. You thought Benny took that personally. Cash. Oh, man. All offseason. So. You just got to brew
it. So bowl practices are underway. They've had a couple already. I know it's been sporadic just because this is finals week for UK. There's going to be a small availability. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to make it to it, but I don't know how many people are going to be there. They're already kind of warning us in the notification of a media event that there's graduation tomorrow and everything else. So it's going to be a light day a little bit. So.
Right.
But we'll have some more availability for them before they hit the Christmas break. And then whenever we get down to Florida, we'll be able to get a little bit more activity going and get you updates and stuff like that.
Right. That'll be good. And then I know the awards don't even stop at football, too. I know we've gotten some recent volleyball awards as well, some accolades there that you posted on our daily post this morning.
Yeah, the American Volleyball Coaches Association came out with their All-Americans. And second team nominations were Madison Lilly and Leah Edmond, both came in on the second team, and then Gabby Curry and Brooke Morgan, who was a huge surprise for everybody this year. Everybody knew she was a solid talent, but didn't realize she would come along the way she did, moving back to that middle position, was really a big benefit for her. She's just so athletic. And to be able to understand what these you know, as a strength coach, that's one of the reasons why, you know, how are you getting into this kind of volleyball thing, coach? You know, you're an old football guy and a strength coach now. It's like, whenever you get to enjoy athleticism at its true finest and to see somebody that can move across a court, jump off one foot into the air and hammer a ball down it and, you know, put it into a girl's chest to knock her down, that's pretty cool.
I mean, when you look at Leah Edmonds' arm when she's up in the air and you can catch her in that with her arm fully cocked back.
That external rotation that she has. Yes,
it looks like her elbow's just snapped in half, like her hands just dangling there. But like, oh, it's unreal at like how hard they come through on those.
And then sometimes whenever she rotates through and she comes through the middle and she's flying from the back row up the middle and hammers one down. It's just amazing. In the Missouri game, I forgot the girl's name. She was number 4, but she kind of rotated to the side. And on one rally, Leah put it in her chest like twice.
Yeah.
It's like as soon as the girl got back up, it was like coming back at her, hammered down. I was like, just stay down. Just yeah. Let the point be over and stay down. But no, that was good to see those All-American odds coming off of, you know, all the SEC awards that they got. You know, Coach Skinner being SEC Coach of the Year. Gabby Curry being Libero of the Year. She's only a sophomore, folks. She'll be back for another 2 years. There is no setter of the year. I'm sure Madison would have gotten that. But, hey, she's only sophomore. There's 2 more years. You know, you had a lot of girls that weren't recognized that had great seasons for them. Lauren Tharp's one of the ones that comes to mind. Allie Stemmler was freshman of the year, you know, freshman of the year, made the freshman All-SEC team. Leah's going to be back for another year. She's only junior. So a lot of good talent coming back, and to see what they were reloaded with. They got a couple new good girls coming in. It's going to be fun off season. Can't wait to see them in the spring. I know they're going to be back at it here shortly, getting back in the weight room, getting prepared. This team's hungry. They want to increase every single year. So it's going to be good to see.
Right. Absolutely. I love it. And then when we start looking at this weekend, when we're looking at, we'll start with women's volleyball or women's volleyball. Nah, you got me saying women's volleyball.
Yeah.
And we were trying to talk about volleyball. Yeah. I was like, that was a complete, I wasn't even trying to say volleyball. I was trying to say basketball, and I said women's volleyball. Whatever. Women's basketball. They play at 1 o'clock this weekend on Sunday or on Saturday. Middle Tennessee State will be there. Actually,
Toy Drive. It's Toy Drive.
It is the toy drive.
So if you're coming out to the women's game, which I highly recommend you do.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. If you have not been out to see these girls play, mm-hmm. I mean, 3 weeks for the third week this week, Ryan Howard was nominated as the SEC freshman player of the week. So she's averaging close to 18 points a game. I mean, it's just amazing what she's doing. I mean, this whole team, they're hungry. They play hard. Mm-hmm. Get out. You're missing it if you're not getting out. Yeah. If we can do a doubleheader, you can do a doubleheader.
That's right. Yeah. No kidding. And it's fun to watch these girls play. And we talked about it on one of our past episodes. You know, they ran into a tough Louisville team. That it was a team that wasn't turning the ball over like Kentucky was used to causing on the defensive side. The
girls are like plus 17.
Yeah, it's crazy.
In the turnover ratio before that, before the Louisville game. Louisville only turned it over 6 times in the whole game.
Yeah.
So
right now, Kentucky is averaging 13 turnovers a game on offense, and their opponents are averaging 24.8.
Right.
Turnovers a game. Crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be a little bit, you know, that's what I like about this schedule they've got. You know, each week, you know, the competition gets a little tougher, gives Coach Mitchell a little benchmark of where his players are at before we get into the SEC play. Mm-hmm. But they got a little bit of a test against Middle Tennessee State. They've got a point guard, Taylor Sutton, who was named the National Freshman of the Week. So they've got another hot freshman guard to kind of match up with Ryan. So it's going to be fun to see, to kind of watch. You know, they're mid-major, so the competition level's increasing a little bit. So I'm excited. I want to get out and see it. See USA team. So.
Yep. No, I agree. Right now they're sitting let's see here. They're sitting at, 7-2?
Yep.
They're on a 5-game win streak. Against some good, decent teams here. And I mean, they're definitely not any pushovers, especially, you know, being a Conference USA. And like you said, Sutton, national player of the week. And she's already got two Conference USA Freshman of the Week awards as well. She's not averaging a ton when you look at her numbers, but she, over the last couple games here, she's put up in the 20s. So I think it'll be, yeah, like you said, it'll be a good matchup. I think these ladies can cause them to turn the ball over a bunch and can kind of get in their face, because I don't know that this Middle Tennessee State has seen that yet.
No, I don't think they have, and I don't think they've seen the kind of pressure these girls can put on. And, you know, they lost by just a few points to Louisville, the number four team in the nation. Yep. They hung in with them, and they had a couple bad stretches through there that coaches kind of let them go and let them get out there and try to figure it out for themselves, yeah. Which I think was good. I mean, so I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I mean, I'm a little worried about the Sutton girl, but I think once we get the defense turned on her, I mean, she's shooting 40% from the floor. She's shooting 43% from three-point range. They've got another guard, Alexa Johnson, who is shooting 62%. She got a little higher percentage of 58% from three-point range. So those two are going to be the main ones we have to kind of watch out for.
Yeah.
Alex Johnson looks like she's more of an overall kind of player. She's got 42 total rebounds, as well as 21 assists and 11 steals. So that's their main number one person. But whenever we know what it's like, whenever you have a Macy Morris out there, you know, and a Ryan Howard to kind of complement that 1-2 punch, it's hard to focus on one person and shut that lockdown player on, because right. It lets that freshman come out of nowhere, and you just don't want him to beat you there. But it's going to be fun. Can't wait. They did beat Vandy. If you want to kind of look at some teams that we might play down the road, they beat Vandy by 10.
Yep.
At home, so that was there.
Right.
But other than that, they haven't really played anybody else that we would kind of come across or match up with. So their two losses came. One came to Belmont in a real low-scoring affair. They lost 38-45, and then Tennessee Tech, they lost by 4.
Yep.
So, yeah. Interesting to see. Can't wait.
Love it. Love it. Well, we on to the men's side of things, huh? Right after that, we'll have a little bit of a break, get to go see some interviews, and make our way to Rupp, and we're ready to go 5 o'clock.
So, it's a dealer's choice on the brunch, which I'm kind of excited to see what they will have at the women's game, but then we all know what's going to happen at Rupp.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Brisket, nachos, or tacos with whichever. As many jalapenos as you could fit.
That's exactly right. So all know what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Max just doesn't – he always downplays it because he doesn't understand. He hasn't.
No, he doesn't. And I don't want him to understand.
Just keep going on being that way. I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah.
Although I do need to go find those chips you put out.
Oh, man. What do they call it? Fiery habanero.
Yeah.
Lace chips that are at Walmart right now, which, insider scoop, we didn't know this, but Max told us that due to contracts, Walmart gets first dibs over all new flavors that come out before it goes to any other grocery chain, which I did not know. So that's good to know.
Yeah, because I don't have a Walmart. I mean, there's one on the way to school, but other than that, I don't have one close by anymore. And that's why when you sent that out, I was like, okay, I passed 3 Krogers on the way home. I'm going to hit a Kroger's up. I'll get them. And Max is like, you're not going to find them there.
Yeah. I got to go to Walmart tomorrow. Max. I'll pick you up a bag, and I'll bring it to you on Saturday, and then you'll have it for the ride home.
Yep, there we go. Just like the bundt cake you brought the one day.
Yeah, that's right.
Very nice.
Little snack for the road.
You know what else? I know you and I are both big Taco Bell guys. I forgot, and they threw one in because it took so long to get my order last time. The caramel apple empanadas at Taco Bell.
I have not had one of those in a long time.
I had not had one. I forgot about them altogether. Yeah. And they were like, for your weight, we threw a caramel apple empanada in there. I was like,
ooh.
Oh, yes, it got eaten first.
What if I wait a little longer? We throw another one in?
I'm sorry, this is wrong. Yeah. This order is completely wrong. But I forgot all about those.
Yeah. I'm going to have to remember that next time I go. Every time I go there, I'm like, I may try something new this time.
Never.
Never.
Oh, never, well. Never do. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I try that up a lot of the places that I go to quite often, but never happens.
Yeah, never. So let's look at the Utes real quick. They are 4-4. They are like 11th in the Pac-12 right now. They have not been off to a great start. It's kind of funny because if we're big math guys, obviously everybody knows that. If you're looking at math here, they have literally this entire season alternated wins and losses. They started with a win, and then every other game has been just win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, all the way to this one. So, according to math, they just lost to BYU. So, Kentucky wins. That's how the schedule's going. It's just, we don't even need to play the game. They just put a W there. We're good.
That was the duel, the Brigham Young Ute duel.
Or I'm sorry. Sorry. They lost to BYU. So math says that Utah should beat Kentucky is what I meant to say. So we'll see if Kentucky can break that streak or not, because that's going to be I don't know. But this is not a very good team. When you're looking at them, I mean, they've got one of their senior point guards, Cedric Bearfield, kind of carries them-ish. I mean, he averages something like 13 or 14 points a game. He's been in double digits the last four games. But I mean, there's nothing really that stands out here. It's actually, in their last two games that they've had, they've been in like some big time slumps. Even though they won one of them, they lost to BYU pretty good. And I think they only hit 40 of 102 shots that they took in the last two games. So they've been going through some offensive struggles, from things that the local media of Utah has been putting out there. It just seems like on offense, they are not clicking together. They're not playing together. It's a lot of individual guys that are just trying to take some shots and look good and pull up, and it's not working for them right now. So they've had some wins, but they've had some very, very ugly losses too.
Yeah, and this is a travel game for them. So
yeah, yep.
That's a little bit different, and going on the road and having to come play in our environment. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of crowd we get at Rupp, being a Saturday mid-afternoon.
Right.
Coming off what we've kind of been going through here lately.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, I think the big piece of this that everybody's going to be curious is, number one, can they shake off the cobwebs from the Seton Hall game, or not the cobwebs, but the disappointment from Seton Hall. And then two, right after that, you lose Quad A Green to a transfer. A couple of things that have not been going the best, the team's way here. How are they going to handle that?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because it seemed like Quad A was pretty well liked by everybody.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of those situations where we kind of saw this coming and we could kind of tell, like, oh, if you were really going to – if you would ask anybody before the other day that came out, hey, somebody's going to transfer, Quad A probably wouldn't have been my first pick.
No. I think he probably would have been top three for me. And really, the only reason I would say that is because when you think someone's transferring like early in the season or midseason, you think playing time automatically. So when I heard that, my brain immediately went to, okay, who are guys that either played last year or think they should be playing more than they have and are looking to get out? And honestly, my number one was probably Nick Richards, is who I thought that was going to end up.
That's what I would have thought too. So. Whenever it was first released, big news coming, I'm like, somebody's bailing.
Yeah. Right.
That's who I thought it was going to be. and even then, just because the way Cal's been treating them with, if you're not going to do the things that I ask you to do in practice and everything else, then you're not going to get playing time. You're not going to earn it. And we've seen people's numbers, minutes go down. Look what's happened to Nick there last few games. Even into, you could say, EJ Montgomery. And seen his minutes drop too. So that probably wouldn't have been my first guess, but I get it. And it just seems like there were some things that they wanted him to do that it wasn't his style of game anymore for him to go out and do those kind of things. He's had a little bit of a rough stretch for us.
Yeah. Turned
the ball over quite a bit. Been going through some slump shooting. Been pretty sporadic, even though he has been one of our better three-point shooters.
Right. Yeah, and he obviously was a big reason that we ended up coming back and being able to blow that Southern Illinois game out early in the year. And then against VMI, he had a big, second half there too. So, he has been important to the team. He was important last year. He's not like the guy that is our leading scorer. He's not like the guy on this team that you lose a guy like this and your season's done. I think they're going to recover. It is a tough loss because not only as far as the production on the court, when you look at that, but you just lose that little bit of leadership that you do have of guys who have been here before and came back another year and aren't just true freshmen. So I think that is going to be a bigger impact than anything else as far as the stats or what he's putting out on the court. I think it's a lot of that, whatever leadership he had and some of that mentorship to some of these younger guys to show them the ropes, that's going to be missed more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange to say a veteran guy's a sophomore player.
Right.
But when you look at it outside of Travis, that's him and PJ are really the ones. I mean, and Nick, but I don't really see Nick being that kind of leader. And we don't know what's going on in practice. I know Cal's been putting a lot of emphasis on what happens in practice. We know Baker got into the game for a minute the other day. We don't know what he's been doing in practice. If that hadn't, I mean, because that's another guard there, another guy that can shoot the three. If with him coming back, if and the freshmen that are in, and he's already seen his playing time dwindle, if that was going to even dwindle even more, we'll have to wait and see. So that's going to be interesting to watch in this game, you know, what kind of rotations Cal gets and how they all kind of gel together. Because, you know, here's a guy that was the first player off the bench a lot and getting into a lot of those different rotations with everybody. What happens?
Right.
So it's an interesting to see. But, you know, that's what Cal gets the big bucks for. And we'll have to wait and see. I'm excited to see it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, when you look at, you know, some people are going to be talking about the recruiting side of things and how this is going to affect, you know, Coach Cal with that. I know you touched on it a little bit there. But, you know, when you're looking at it, this is the – was it the fifth or – I'm sorry, it's the fifth transfer and eighth player with remaining eligibility to leave UK other than NBA draft since 2015-16 season. So, I mean, that is a little bit alarming that some guys are leaving, but I think when you look at the guys that are leaving, a lot of it comes down to playing time and that they can be successful at other places. There's just so much talent on these Kentucky teams that it's hard to shine through like they can other places. So I think that's the thing that you got to think about. And I'm sure what Quade had a lot of conversation around was thinking about where else could he go that can make an impact and really be seen so that he can make it to the next level more so than he can with all these other guys around him.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of brought up and I put on there, you know, recruiting in the future, because this kind of signifies for us that Cal's system of one and dones, you've either got to go get a top three class and have guys that are going to leave and go to the NBA and bring the next group in. You can't have that mix of guys that are going to be a 2-3 year kind of guy and then go to the NBA.
Right.
Some guys that are going to go straight to the NBA, because then eventually whenever you bring in that next group of your one and dones, that other person's not going to get the time that he needs to develop and things like that. So Cal's kind of got, you know, a decision to make. What do you want to go to? And obviously we got late. If we didn't have Travis right now, I don't know where we'd be.
Right. Yeah. And the, with the recruiting side of it, where a lot of the concern comes in is that Coach Cal did so well in the beginning when he first got here and he was bringing in those John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins classes where he was getting, you know, two of the top five guys in every recruiting class there for a few years. And really since then, you know, since around that 2015-16 era, he hasn't gotten those top five guys. Other teams are beating him to this. So he's not getting, you know, the cream of the crop as far as those recruiting classes, but then he's also not getting the guys that will stay and build a program. So he's kind of stuck in limbo with, I'm going to get some really good guys and guys that can play, but they're not going to stick around. So I got to see if I can pull something together here real quick this year, because I'm not going to be able to build anything with them, but they're not going to go out and dominate like we're watching Duke pretty much do this year with having those top three guys. So that's kind of the dilemma you find yourself in.
Yeah, with more and more teams going to the one-and-done model, the pool talent is just not there to where he was, like you said, he was capturing a lot of these top classes because nobody else is ready to fully commit to that kind of one-and-done system.
Right.
Now Duke's in it. You know, we've seen it with a handful of other programs. So, yeah, you're right. He's got to make a decision, because I don't think you can kind of sit middle of the road and have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. What we've seen already is it won't work.
Right. It won't work. Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see. But the good thing is he's not just a good recruiter. He's a good coach too. I mean, there's a lot of times if you look back, of course, the history of his career, there was a lot of times that he did a lot with a little talent because of his coaching ability. So.
And how John pointed out, his coaching staff, the guys that he's got around him, you know, that are able to help him out. I'm really glad that we had John on the show. If you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to our last episode where John Hood was on for about the second half of the episode there, just talking the controversies about basketball and a lot of the questions that the fans have and his thoughts on it. And obviously he's a guy that's been around the program enough and been around Cal enough He knows what he's talking about, I would say. So,
yeah.
yeah, but yeah, we'll see here, man. We got a couple good basketball games, women and men. Like we said, doubleheader this weekend. Excited for that, seeing how these teams bounce back after a couple losses, and yeah, go from there. Still a long season.
It was a weird weekend because of the losses. I mean, I mean, volleyball went down and basketball lost both sides of it, and we hadn't experienced that in a while at UK.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird weekend. It was. And then I was making the joke that Nebraska had our number there for a minute because they beat us in volleyball last year in the tournament, beat us this year in the tournament, and then they stole Wando Robinson from us. So they were coming after Kentucky there for a minute on whatever they could. Yeah,
but I'll trade Wando for Jared Casey any day.
Yeah, true. True. Yeah, and I know a lot of people were going after JJ as well, thinking that he was leaving and he had to put out some stuff that he was staying, that he wasn't going anywhere. JJ Weaver.
He's
got chill. Fans got to chill.
So next week we will be next Wednesday's. It starts the early signing period. There's going to be an event that I will be at on Wednesday at noon at the football complex, where they're going to live stream all their signees and make the big announcements of the ones that have already signed and are coming in. So, and then we've got some guys too, you know, that are waiting for the main signing period. That's why JJ Weaver said he was waiting for the main signing period, because he wants to sign with his team.
Yeah.
Every school does it a little bit differently. Every player can do it a little bit differently. I know I can say for Christian Academy, we have three signing periods a year.
Yeah.
We'll have three. We just had one in November that Greg signed at. We'll have one in February, and then we'll have one in the spring. Now, Milton Wright will sign on Wednesday. He will have his own separate ceremony where he will sign with Purdue, just because it's the early signing period and the hype and recognition that he's gotten. He deserves that.
Yep.
So everybody just calm down. Calm down. I'm not worried about a kid that says, yeah, I want to come to you, and then before he actually signs the paper, changes his mind. It's frustrating. As a coaching staff, I know it's frustrating because you kind of earmarked that spot for him. I know as a coach, you don't want to go out and offer more spots than what you have. So you got to kind of go play catch up there at the end. Mm-hmm. But I would be more upset if he signed and then – I don't want to use Quade Green as an example, because you know there's reasons why he's leaving. But some kid that signs in February, and then before we get to the summer, he's already asked for his release because he wants to go somewhere else.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at the grand scheme of things, at least we're not Louisville. I think they have like what, five commits right now? Four. Oh, they dropped another one. Good. Yeah. Okay. That's always good.
And everybody, I love. It was so funny with everybody getting on them about whenever they come. The only thing about them dropping those kids that had already committed.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a different staff. So, you know, they're not the ones that recruited you.
Yeah.
The staff that recruited you is gone. Whenever they said they've called, or Tyra called them and said their scholarship safe.
Yep.
Then it should be honored.
Right.
And if you're not going to honor it, as a head coach, you better be on the phone doing it. Don't go grab your tight end coach and say, hey, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Call a little buddy and tell him he's got to go find another spot.
Yep.
So I think the way they did it, not that they did it was wrong, but the way they did it was wrong.
Correct. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I can't imagine going through that as a – just putting myself back in that senior in high school state of mind and going through that process and being so excited and then have that happen. And just completely ruin things for you.
I mean, if you want to peel the layer of the onion back, I even would question those parents. Why are you letting your kid sign with a program that was on fire to begin with?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, watching everything that's going around. I mean, that place there, their soccer coach bailed this week out of the blue, out of nowhere. And he's been amazing for that university and the program, and just decided he got other things he wants to do. That's all he's going to say.
Jeez.
So there's a lot of stuff going on that kind of made me question too. Dan McDonald, whose son goes to Cal, plays with Greg. They're friends. You know, I talked to Dan quite a bit during the baseball season about baseball.
Yeah.
Great guy. Great character guy. You know, you got to kind of wonder where he's at a little bit with it.
Yeah.
But because he's like one of the top coaches in the nation. He could go pick his job wherever he wanted to.
Right. Yeah.
So
very true.
At least we're not, at least we're not Louisville.
Yeah.
But we got Louisville coming up.
We do.
29th.
Utah, North Carolina next Saturday up in Chicago.
Yes.
That'll be a fun road trip for you.
I'm going to go get not Uno's pie. I'm not going to Uno's.
No, do not go to Uno's. When I went to the last basketball game, I was sitting at the table with some of the other media guys, with Curtis and some of those guys, and we were talking, and they were all talking about Chicago because at that time they all knew they were going already, and we're getting their reservations and all that stuff set up, and they were talking about food places. And apparently, you need to ask Curtis, because apparently there's this breakfast place that has like the craziest and best waffles. They have like Oreo and cream waffles.
Shut up.
And, oh, like they were showing me pictures of them. They were pulling out their phones, and I was just like, oh my good Lord. It was unreal.
So, to Mr. Birch.
You need to find that place, and like, because he's gone a few times, and they were all like back and forth, like, are you going to go here? Ooh, you got to go here. You got to go here. Yeah, I've been there. And I was just like, man. So, you got to link with him to get to the right places there. Because
so, there goes my, hey, I'll drive up day of, go to the game, drive till I get, like I did at Tennessee, drive till I get tired and stay somewhere in the middle of Indiana.
Yep.
It's somebody want to call my wife for me again.
Yeah, good luck.
So, yeah, if you really look at the calendar, next week I'm in Chicago, the following week I'm in Orlando.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Happy. Love you, honey. See you next year.
Gotta go. This is actually working. Yeah. I'm serious. This is work now.
Yeah.
I'm not making this up.
I'm not.
Oh, yes, man. I've been playing the long con all year. Smith and Max have been helping me out.
Yep.
This was all planned.
Hey, just remember, Orlando, Duffy's, 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day. It's a beautiful place. Duffy's. And the best mozzarella sticks you'll ever have.
That's a place you were telling me about, right? Yep. Don't they have really good wings, too?
They do have really good wings, yes.
So,
yes. So you can literally just post
credit card will just see a lot of Duffy's.
Yeah, that's what mine does. I'm turning in receipts for work, and it's just like Duffy's, Duffy's, Duffy's. I'm like, they're going to be like, Matt, you can't use the same receipt for every meal. No, it's not, there for every meal.
But these two match the same. Yeah. You had two beers and two orders of wings. Yep, yeah. I did, twice. Yep.
Yeah. That was dinner every night. You know
sure
it.
Sure did. Creature of habit. That's what I wanted.
I was making it easy for you guys.
They're not copy. Look, different date time. Date and time stamps are different. Yes, I just have to keep educating everybody, making sure they understand upstairs. This is a job. Yes. This is my job now. Yeah. It's a really, really cool job.
Yeah.
But it is a job. Yeah. But it is a job.
Yep.
When I'm watching them, you know, cover the field, that's what they don't get, is whenever we're watching them cover the field and turning the lights off and getting lost in Neyland Stadium down in Knoxville, walking around that thing for 30 minutes trying to get out at 11 o'clock at night.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people have died in this stadium. Never been found again.
Jeez, no kidding. Oh, man. So watch out for us on Saturday. Like we've talked multiple times, doubleheader. We'll be reporting both of them live. You'll catch us on Sunday. The radio show will be recapping the games. Have a lot to talk about there. 80s country music. Yep. No JT this week. So
I need to get a list. I know.
We need to get that to him like by Friday or Saturday, just so we can he can go ahead and unless you got certain ones, because he can just pull up YouTube, I think, and play those. So.
Oh, did you go to the YouTube page I sent you?
Yes, I did. That was very disturbing. And I don't want to ever watch it again.
Oh,
Russian house music band.
It's one of those train wrecks that you can't stop watching. Yeah. You see it coming.
You're right. Yeah.
And how they allow that stuff to go on TV in Germany.
Yeah.
That one song won the Berlin Music Video of the Year.
Yeah. Unreal.
So it's like played the most. I just couldn't believe it.
I wonder if it was like a joke over there and it got way too far in the joke and it became the song of the year.
Now, the one that was song of the year, I don't want to say it on air, but if you go look at the lyrics are hilarious.
Yeah.
If you break it down, they're hilarious. Like that would have been, if that would have been over here, I can guarantee you every locker room in America would have sung that song.
Yeah.
At some point in time.
Oh yeah. I'm sure they would have. Wow. So,
but yeah, we on Sunday, noon to one, 590 WVLK. You can text us. You can tweet at us. You can interact with us. We like it when we interact.
Oh yeah. We love answering questions.
Plus, Max loves country music, and I'm sure he loves 80s country music even more.
We're going to quiz him every time, and he's just be like, I don't know. He's going to get so frustrated by the end of it. I don't know who it is. I don't know. This would be great.
He'll just shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
But yeah. What family member you think is going to get on him this week?
True. It'll probably be Jeff. Jeff will be like, I'm disappointed in you and your music knowledge.
Oh. Mama Gabby last week, though, call him out, fact-checking him on the breakfast. That was a classic.
Yep.
And then Ashley the week before on the podcast dropping the time you made Miller like mac and cheese. Actually, I made mac and cheese for dinner tonight, and I was in there. I went to grab the milk, and I was like, should I try it?
It's too risky.
No. Don't want to waste a beer. Nope. Yeah. Or mac and cheese.
It's very true. Just have your mac and cheese and drink beer on the side. Then you don't have to worry about it.
So this is what it would taste like. If I tried it at the same time.
When your mouth is swishing around, it would be great.
So that's what it was like. Okay, I get it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, for Greg Lyle, we hope you enjoyed your Maxless episode. I'm Matt Smith. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottlers. Have a great day. Go Cats.